I'm Sharon Rosen, your Peaceful Heart Coach, and you're listening to Part 5 of Crazy World, Peaceful Heart. Consult your inner guidance system. Each of us is born with a direct connection to knowing that goes beyond the five senses. For some, it might be a very clear visual or auditory sense. The ability to see auras or to receive clear messages as if someone is speaking right into your ear. But for me, it's been a journey of learning to trust certain feelings and ways of knowing that often seem tentative and clouded in ambiguity. Just because we're naturally wired to our intuition doesn't mean it's always easy to recognize clear insight when it comes. We forget that we are part of the ocean of consciousness and not just a single separate wave or molecule of salt. And as part of that vast ocean of consciousness, we have access to information that cannot be reached through our logical mind. We live in a world that is both rational and emotional, but somehow rationality is given more weight and credibility. Just as what we can see, touch, taste and smell seems somehow more real to us than our gut impulses and intuitive leaps. That's why one of the key phrases of my life and work is, don't forget to remember that you know what you know. There is wisdom in all of your cells and tissues, from both your own experiences and from your connection to the larger intelligence of universal mind. Unfortunately, it gets too easily buried in the noise of other people's opinions and the sheer weight of enculturation that helps you to navigate this world. So you need to find and make use of tools that help you to excavate that knowing and allow it to surface more clearly and easily. You may already be doing this, but not always knowing how the information comes in when it does, or how to access it more clearly. Take a moment now to think about how you know things outside of your intellect. Do you get an odd feeling in your belly when you sense someone isn't telling the truth, even if it sounds really good? Does your throat feel tight when someone overrides your story with their own and makes you doubt what you know? So I'll tell you a couple of stories. When I was in my 20s, I learned to trust these vague inner prompts, even if it wasn't clear to me at the time what they meant. The first lesson came when my boyfriend at the time, who was a very charismatic man, would often tell me what a supportive, wonderful partner he was. Everything about him looked and sounded great. We'd met at a meditation group. He was Jewish and had a successful dental practice, so really he was every Jewish mother's dream. And he was cute and had a wicked sense of humor. It took quite a while before I started to pay more attention to my roiling belly than to his words and credentials, and just finally realized that we were simply not a match made to last. The second lesson came when an older male client made an odd request. He was a retired judge who had hired me to do regular house calls to massage both him and his wife, and this was really a great gig for me very early in my career. After our first session, he mentioned that he was impotent and that the most relaxing thing for him was to have his thighs massaged. He actually wanted me to spend most of the hour session just on his inner thighs. And being a newbie, I tried to accommodate this request, even as I explained that it would be helpful to work with other parts of his body. Again, my stomach was roiling, even though he never did or said anything inappropriate. It didn't take more than a few sessions for me to realize that even though I was still building my practice, I just didn't need the money that badly. If it upset me to work on him, even if there was nothing overtly harmful or threatening going on, then I not only didn't need to work with him, I also didn't need to figure out what it was all about. Sometimes your body knows more than your head, and that's what I was learning to trust from these experiences. So there are two pieces here. the way that you know, and the trusting what you know, especially when there is external evidence that seems to point in other directions. And as with so many things in life, one of the best ways to get better at both knowing and trusting is to practice. And one of the best tools for practice is to use an oracle system. Now, you may already have something in your house that you bought years ago or use occasionally, a tarot deck or a set of angel cards, or maybe a book on the I Ching. And you may have used them quite a bit when you first got them, but then they ended up on a shelf and they've been collecting dust ever since. Or maybe you've never thought of using any kind of oracle, but you've had an occasional astrological or intuitive reading, and those mostly confirm things you were already feeling, leaning towards, or denying. So while it can be incredibly helpful to get outside confirmation and guidance, the best, most consistent guidance comes from within. If you already have a deck, or two, or three, or more, as I seem to have, it's time to get one out. And if you don't have any, they're easy to find these days in most bookstores or online. The best way to pick one is, well, I have to say it, to use your intuition. And that includes how you respond to the colors or images that are used, to the way the accompanying book is written, and to just what you're most naturally drawn to. One of the reasons I have so many decks is that each one evokes a different feeling or energy state. So trust what you're feeling and go with that. Once you know what you're working with, start pulling a card or using one of the layouts that's recommended by that particular system each day for a week. Keep a journal of what you ask or the intention you set, what you receive, and what meaning it has for you. Sometimes there won't be any obvious connection, but you'll still have a feeling, emotion, or sensation come up. So pay attention to that and make a note of it. Now, this is something that you'll want to do with a level of both seriousness and playfulness. I do suggest that you don't just do it on the fly. Set aside some time and create a space for receptivity. You might want to use a beautiful cloth to lay the cards out on, light a candle, or put on some quiet music. The more you ritualize this activity, the more you will open your creative channel and create space for as many forms of knowing as possible to show up. Most of all, enjoy yourself. Think of this as your sacred playtime. You're inviting your muse to tea, and you want to set as lovely a table as possible to enhance the level of conversation and sharing. Let this time inform and inspire you as you make space to remember what you know. Then, use that knowledge to quietly navigate through the noise of the world.